Hi, welcome to Books with Zion. Hi, and welcome to Books with Zion. Today we will be reading The Babysitter's Club, Stacy and the Mystery of Stony Brook. This book was made in, the late 80s, which is actually pretty cool when you think about it. But precisely was made in 1990. Let's get started. Stacy and the Mystery of Stony Brook. Chapter 1. As the train started up, I sat back in my seat, leaned my head against the window, and smiled to myself. On the surface, it might seem as if I, 8th grade Stacy McGill, had the perfect life. Most of the time, I live in lovely old Stony Brook, Connecticut. That's where my train was headed. I go to a great school, have tons of friends, and belong to the best club in the world. But more about that later. Every now and then, though, pretty much whenever I feel like it, I get to go on a fun-filled, action-packed, all-expenses-paid weekend in the glamorous Big Apple, New York City. As they say on the game shows. That's how it looks on the surface. And I'll admit, I had a great, terrific weekend in New York. But as soon as you peek beneath the surface of my life, you'll see that it isn't quite as ideal as it looks. Maybe you've guessed by now that reason. I go back and forth between Stony Brook and New York. My parents are divorced. When they broke up, my mom and I moved to Stony Brook, and my dad stayed in the city. The split happened pretty recently, and believe me, it was not pretty fun-filled. Although, it was kind of action-packed. Before the split up, my parents fought a lot. Not physically or anything, but all that yelling really got to me. How did my mum and I end up in Stony Brook? Well, that's kind of complicated, but here it goes. I grew up in New York City, and in a way, I'll always consider it my home. I love all the excitement. I also love eating out, going to shows, and shopping. There's no place like New York for great clothes. I still shop there, which means I look pretty sophisticated in Stony Brook. For example, I had dressed for my train ride in a white jumpsuit layered over a blue tank top. I had on a white push-down socks with blue hearts on them. Had a white push-down socks and with blue hearts all over them, a wide blue patterned leather belt, and a wild necklace made of all kinds of plastic sea creatures in a rainbow of colours. Oops, I think I got off the track there a little. Where was I? Okay, so I grew up in New York. But then, when I was in 7th grade, my dad's company transferred him to their Connecticut office. And then, a year later, just as I had really begun to feel at home in Stony Brook, they transferred him back to New York. Can you believe it? It wasn't long after we'd moved back to the city that I noticed how my parents seemed to be fighting all the time. And you can guess the rest of the story. They decided to get divorced. I decided to move back to Stony Brook with my mum, instead of moving to the Upper East Side with my dad. And that's why I was on that train, thinking about my weekend in New York. The first great thing about the weekend was that my dad had taken the whole day off on Saturday just to be with me. I know, you're thinking, what's the big deal? Nobody works on Saturday? Nobody except my dad. I guess he's what you'd call a workaholic. That was one of the things he and my mum used to fight about, how his job was more important to him than his family. How he was never home, but on this Saturday, I guess it was important to him to show me a good time, because that's what he did. He started the day by going out to brunch to this little cafe I've always loved. All the waiters are really cute, and you can get any kind of omelette you want. The food is excellent, but what I really love is the cappuccino. That's coffee with foamy hot milk in it and cinnamon sprinkled on top. Yum. I'm not usually allowed to drink coffee, but my dad always lets me have a little of his cappuccino. After brunch, we just walked around for a while, window shopping and people watching. You never know what who or what you'll see in New York. At one point, as we were crossing Fifth Avenue, I looked to my right just in time to see Gary Rockman. He is the hottest and most gorgeous star on right now. Jump into a cab. I nearly died. My dad knows that one of my favorite stores is Fiorucci. So when we got near it, he suggested that we go in. He told me to pick out anything I wanted. For a second, I considered taking him at his word and asking him to buy me this outrageous purple suede jacket. Was it beautiful? Cropped short at the waist and covered with fringe all up the arms and across the back. But I did the mature thing, silly me, and picked out a wild pair of sunglasses, heart-shaped ones, in a black and white checkerboard pattern. Claudia, my best friend in Stony Brook, will love them, I know. We walked in shop some more, and by 5 o'clock, we were starving. So we decided to go out for dinner. Dad let me choose a restaurant, so I picked Hunan Supreme, this Chinese place in our neighborhood. In our old neighborhood, sorry. We know the owner, Mr. Lee, and the food is great. Our meal was delicious, but I have to say, that dinner was not my favorite part of the weekend. Here's why. When our food came, I started to dig in, but Dad just sat there looking worried. Are you sure those noodles are okay for you to eat, honey? He asked. That might seem like a silly question, but he actually had a good reason to ask it. I'm a diabetic. I have to be really careful about what I eat. When I eat it, and how many calories it has. If I'm not careful, my blood sugar gets all out of whack, and I can get seriously ill. I also have to take insulin every day. I give myself the shots, which sounds horrible, but it really is no big deal. Once you get used to it. When I first got diabetes, my parents were constantly fussing over me. They made me nuts. But by now, they basically know that I know how to take care of myself. Unfortunately, though, I'd recently been told by my regular doctor that I'd have to be even more careful with my diet and with taking just the right amount of insulin. I guess my body is going through some changes right now that make it hard for everything to stay in balance. So there I was, about to take another bite of my noodles. I do know that they're okay for me to eat. Of course, otherwise... Oh. Lost the page. I do know that they're okay for me to eat, of course. Otherwise, I'd never had ordered them. Who wants to get sick? Then my dad's broke up again. I think you should schedule an appointment with Dr. Wiener for the next time you visit me. Dr. Wiener is my diabetes specialist. I don't have to see her regularly. Just when there's a special problem. I hate it when my parents start worrying about my diabetes. I don't feel sick all the time. And I can't stand being treated like an invalid. To tell you the truth, it scares me a little when they make a federal case out of my diabetes. It reminds me that I do have a serious illness. That it's under control. Come on, don't you think I know how to take care of myself? I'm a big girl now, remember? I'm not your little bootsy anymore. Bootsy is what my dad calls kids, who are that really cute, big tummy, bull-legged stage, around 2 or 3. He softened. I could tell I'd put off having to see Dr. Wiener for a while anyway. No, you're not my little bootsy anymore, are you, Anastasia? He's the only one who gets away with calling me that. I know it is my real name, but really, Anastasia? So that was my big weekend in New York. On Sunday, I woke up late in my dad's apartment. I could hear him clinking away at his computer keyboard in the room next to mine. I should have known he couldn't stand to take the whole weekend off. I started to get a little mad at him. After all, it was Sunday, but just then the doorbell rang. I threw on my bathrobe and ran for the door. It was my best friend in New York, Lane Cummings, carrying a huge, bulging bag from Zabar's. Zabar's is only the most incredible deli in the world. Everybody goes there on Sunday mornings to get bagels, fresh cream cheese, and all kinds of other goodies. Lane and I pulled everything out of the bag, arranged it on the table, and proceeded to eat and gossip until it was time for me to catch my train. I just started thinking again about what that purple jacket. When the conductor came strolling through the car, "Stony Brook, all for Stony Brook, get off here," he said. I jumped off the last step of the train right into my mother's arms. She gave me a huge hug. "I've missed you so much, sweetie. How was your weekend?" As we walked to the car, got in, and started home, I gave her a blow-by-blow account of my visit to New York. As she listened to the details of that wonderful Saturday, I could see her mouth tightening a little. "Do you mean to tell me that he really took the entire weekend off?" She asked. "I can't believe it." I then told her about the computer sounds that morning, but I didn't want to go into it now, even though I could see that I hadn't made her feel so great by telling her all about the terrific time I had. "Mom, I miss you too. Let's go into the city together sometime soon. Remember how much fun we used to have in the cosmetics department in Bloomingdale?" She laughed. I'll bet she was thinking of the day we tried on at least 14 different types of perfume each. As soon as we pulled into the driveway, I ran up to my room to unpack. It was good to be back. After all, Stony Brook is really my home now. After dinner, I called Claude to tell her about my weekend. "Oh, Stace, I can't believe you didn't at least try for the jacket," she cried. "Claudia loves clothes as much as I do, maybe even more. But wait till you see my sunglasses. They're to die for, I'm telling you." We talked for a while until my mom called up the stairs to let me know that it was time to get off the phone. "Bye, Stace. See you in school tomorrow," said Claude. "And at the meeting, too," I reminded her. Claude and I, along with our other Stony Brook best friends, all five of them, belong to the Babysitters Club. The club is really a business, a babysitting business, of course, but I'll tell you more about it later. As soon as I hung up the phone, I headed up to bed. I was beat. Those fun-filled, action-packed weekends sure can take a lot out of you. Should we read chapter 2? Let me just see how long it is. It's not that long. Okay. I'd been planning to walk over to Claudia's for the Babysitters Club meeting the next day, but for some reason, I'd been running late for the second I got up that morning. I guess I'm not used to going back and forth between my two quote-unquote worlds, New York and Stony Brook. It takes me a while to readjust every time I readjust. Every time I come back from a weekend away. I started out the day by oversleeping. I gobbled my breakfast, threw on an old outfit I could find, the same white jumpsuit with a pink shirt and, oops, red socks, and practically ran all the way to school. It seemed as though I was rushing around all day, and now that here I was, almost 5:30, club meeting time, and I was still at home. I grabbed my bike and hopped on. I knew I could still make it on time if I pedaled fast. As I rode, I thought about everyone I would see over at Claude's. I'd been really lucky to find so many great friends when I moved to Stony Brook. If I hadn't been for the Babysitters Club, my life would sure be different. The BSC was all Christy's idea. That's Christy Thomas, president of the Babysitters Club. She's always coming up with excellent ideas, but this one has to be the greatest. It all started at the beginning of seventh grade. At the time, Christy lived with her mum, her two brothers, Sam and Charlie, and her little brother, David Michael. Her mum was divorced. Christy's dad walked out on her on the family years ago. Christy never even sees him. Don't you think, guys, that's just a hint sad? Just a little bit sad. Christy never even sees him. Isn't that awful? I thought my parents' divorce was the pits, but at least I got to see my dad pretty often. Anyway, Christy and her brothers used to babysit for David Michael most of the time. But when they couldn't, Mrs. Thomas would have to make a ton of phone calls to try to line up for a sitter. One night, as her mom was doing this, Christy had one of her brilliant brainstorms. What if parents could reach a whole bunch of experienced babysitters with just one call? So the Babysitters Club was born. Christy got together with Claudia, as well as Marianne, who lived across the street and was Christy's best friend. They immediately... Wait. dun dun dun, decided that they needed more than three people in the club, so Claude suggested me. We had met in school and were already becoming friends. Not best friends, just friends. Claudia was a little advisor. Okay, so where were we? We had met in school and were already becoming friends. Not best friends, just friends. Claudia was elected vice president mainly because we hold meetings in her room. Plus, she has her own phone with a private line. Very important for the club. Marianne became secretary because she's neat and organized. And I took on the office of treasurer because I'm good at math. We'd meet 3 times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. During our meetings, parents would call us to line up sitters. The club has worked perfectly since day one, but believe me, it has been through some major changes, and so have all its members. I'm not the only one who feels like my whole life has been turned upside down and inside out and upside down in the last year or so. Also, the BSC has grown a lot since it started. Besides the original members, there is now also Dawn, Jesse, and Mallory, not to mention Logan and Shannon. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let me go back to Christy. Besides being brilliant, Christy can be bossy at times, and occasionally, I hate to say it, a little babyish. Christy's small for her age and is kind of a tomboy. She wears the same thing every day: jeans, a turtleneck, a sweater, and running shoes. But Christy's all right. She's had a crazy year. And I have to say she's dealing with it really well. While Christy was starting the club, her mum was falling in love with a real, true millionaire named Watson Brewer. They got married, and Christy moved across town to live in his mansion. She wasn't crazy about Watson or the move at first. But she did like Watson's kids, her new stepbrother and stepsister, Andrew and Karen. And just as the two families were starting to become one, Christy's mum and Mr. Brewer decided to adopt Emily Michelle, a 2-year-old Vietnamese girl. She's adorable. And then Christy's grandmother, Nanny, moved in to help take care of Emily. So it's a pretty full house right now, especially when you throw in Shannon, the Bernese mountain dog puppy, and Boo Boo, the fat, mean geriatric cat. But they all seem to be getting along well, and Christy likes her new house, new family, and new neighborhood better all the time. As I mentioned before, Claudia Kishi, my best friend, remember, is a vice president of the club. Claudia is, well, gorgeous. She's Japanese-American and has L-O-N-G, silky black hair. L-O-N-G spells long, by the way. Silky black hair, a perfect complexion, despite her incurable junk food habit, and all almond-shaped eyes. And if there's anyone in town who's a wilder, more sophisticated dresser than me, it's got to be Claude. She's a really talented artist, and she's always putting together the most outrageous outfits, then accessorizing them with even more outrageous jewelry, which of course she's made herself. Claude's likes and dislikes? Likes: reading Nancy Drew mysteries. Dislikes: studying. Has a love/hate relationship with her genius older sister Janine. Misses her grandmother Mimi, whom she was really close to. Mimi died not long ago, and actually we all miss her. Marianne Spear, the club secretary, has brown hair and brown eyes, just like Christy. But while Christy is loud-mouthed and always in the spotlight, Marianne is extremely shy and sensitive. And I mean sensitive. She cries at the drop of a hat, probably because she feels sorry for the poor hat. Marianne grew up with her father. Her mom died when she was really little. For years, Mr. Spear was incredibly strict with Marianne. But he's finally beginning to loosen up. He even let her get a kitten. If there's anybody besides her father that Marianne loves more than Tigger, that's her kitten. It's her boyfriend, Logan Bruno. I always think it's kind of weird that Marianne Spear, who is the shyest girl in the Babysitter's Club, is the only one of us who has a steady boyfriend. I guess Logan must like Marianne for the same reasons all of us do. She's understanding, a good listener, and really a lot of fun. Marianne is another one who's had a major change in her life recently. But before I go on into that, let me tell you about Dawn Schaefer, since she's got something to do with that change. Dawn is the alternate officer in that of the club, which means that she can fill in for any of the other officers if they can't make it to a meeting. She was treasurer the whole time I was living in New York. Dawn moved here from California when her parents got a divorce. Her mum had grown up here, so it was natural that she wanted to come back. Their first year in Stony Brook was kind of rough. Dawn's little brother, Jeff, didn't adjust well to the move. He never stopped missing his dad and feeling homesick for California, so finally he moved back there to live with his dad. I know Dawn misses him a lot, but she's really close to her mum, and she loves the house they live in. It was built in 1795 and has a secret passage and maybe even a real ghost. Honest, even though she lives here for almost 2 years now, Dawn still looks like a California girl. She dresses like a true individual, and she's got long, long pale blonde hair and beautiful blue eyes. She's into health food and in a major way, and it doesn't seem to bother her at all when we all make gagging noises at her tofu salads. Dawn just is who she is. She's got a lot of self-confidence, and she doesn't seem to care too much about what other people think. Now, remember when I said that Dawn had something to do with the big change in Marianne's life? Well, get this. Dawn's mother recently got married. Who did she marry? Marianne's father. Can you believe it? They used to date each other in high school when they were growing up. Right here in Stony Brook. Then when Mrs. Schaefer moved back here, the romance began all over again. So Dawn and Marianne are now stepsisters. And I can't say that the transition from friends to relatives was an easy one for them. When Marianne, her father, and Tigo first moved into Dawn's house, things were more than a little rocky for a while. But it seems as if they're all getting along much better now. Okay, there are still two more members of the club, our junior officers, Mallory Pike and Jesse Ramsey. They were both asked to join while I was away in New York last year, and the other members couldn't quite keep up with all the jobs they were offered. Of course, they're still members, even though I'm back now. They're called junior officers because they're 2 years younger than the rest of us. They're in sixth grade and aren't allowed to sit at night except for their own brothers and sisters. But there are plenty of day jobs to keep them busy. Mallory and Jesse are both great sitters, and we were lucky to get them for the club. Mallory is a good sitter partly because she comes from a huge family. She has seven younger sisters and brothers. The Pikes have always been major clients to us. Mal is actually someone we used to sit for, but she was a big help even then, and now she's grown up a lot. She knows just about everything about kids. She's seen it all. Mal loves to read and write. In fact, she's thinking of becoming a children's book author someday. Her favorite books to read are horse stories. I think she's read Misty of Shinkotagig something like 76 times. Mal's main problem is being 11. That's right, being 11. She feels more grown up than her parents are ready to let her be. That's a funny way to put it, but you know what I mean. She wants to get contacts instead of wearing glasses, and she hates her braces with a passion. At least her parents finally let her get her hair cut and her ears pierced. As for the rest, I guess she'll just have to be patient. That's easier to say, but I know how hard that can be. Mallory's best friend is, guess who, Jesse Ramsey. They became best friends almost right away when Jesse's family moved here last year. I guess Mal really needed somebody right then, and I know Jesse did. Her family had a hard time when they first moved to Stony Brook. Why? Because they're black, and there are hardly any other black families in town. I know, it shouldn't make a difference what color someone is, but it did to a lot of people. It was so unfair. I think things are better for the Ramseys now. Jesse's little sister, Becca, short for Rebecca, has a best friend, and her baby brother, Squirt. His real name is John Philip Ramsey Jr., but Squirt fits him much better. Would be happy anywhere. Plus, the neighbors have seen that the Ramseys are simply a very nice family. By the way, guess where Jesse lives? In my old house. Jesse loves horse stories too, but her real passion is ballet. Jesse's a really talented dancer, and she puts a ton of work into practicing.
She takes lessons twice a week in Stanford, and believe me, they're serious lessons. So that's everyone. Oops, I almost forgot to mention our two associate members, Logan Bruno, Marianne's boyfriend, and Shannon Kilbourne, a friend of Christie's from her new neighborhood. They don't come to meetings, but they're available to fill in for us when we have too many jobs to handle ourselves. Phew, I think that's really everyone. What a crew. As I wheeled my bike into Claude's driveway, I glanced at my watch, only minutes to spare. I would make it on time after all. And the next chapter would be chapter 3. See me on the next episode. Bye.